Number 13 of Hebrews chapter number 3. And here the apostle, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, write unto us this morning. But exhort one another daily, what it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Father, we thank you this morning. We have the opportunity that we can come and worship you in spirit and in truth. That, Lord, today that we can take your word and learn of you and what you expect of us. We can learn today of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and how he wonderfully died for us and give his blood as a payment for the sin that we owe. Father, this morning we ask you now that you might give thy servant the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That, Father, today we might look into thy word and see what you would have us to see today. We thank you now for all that you do, and we give Jesus Christ the honor and the glory. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen and amen. I heard about a man who lived in a community, and he was a very wicked man. He was a thief and a drunkard and an adulterer and just all kinds of wickedness that he participated in. And one day he was in an automobile accident and got killed. Well, everybody was kindly thinking, well, who will hold the funeral? Well, lo and behold, the man had a long-lost brother who lived in a very far away state, and he flew in and he went down to the local Baptist church and met with the pastor, and he said, Pastor, I understand you're building a new building and you need some money. He said, yes, sir, we are. He said, well, he said, I'll give $50,000 to the building fund, and I'll give you $5,000 personally if you'll preach my brother's funeral and call him a saint. And the preacher thought for a few minutes, and he said, okay, I'll do that. Well, everybody heard about the deal, and they were wondering how in the world and what was the preacher going to say. And so about the entire town turned out for the funeral, and the preacher got up, and he looked over at the casket, and he said, this is the most despicable man I ever met. Said he was a drunkard. He committed adultery on his wife. He beat his children. He stole from everybody in this town. And about any kind of act that you could think of, this man did it. But he said, as I look at him, and then I look over here at his brother, compared to his brother, he's a saint. So this morning, sometimes we get all mixed up about what a saint is today. But Paul here in our text is giving us a very solemn warning. A warning this morning that is to be thought about daily, Paul says. And when the Lord tells us today that we are to do something daily, every day, then we ought to take very, very careful attention to what the Lord is saying to us this morning. And here, through the Apostle Paul, the Lord warns us about the deceitfulness of sin. The deceitfulness of sin. Two words this morning that I believe certainly belong together. We find today that the word deceitful this morning means to be dishonest. Many of the synonyms that the dictionary gives for deceitful are crooked, fraudulent, double-dealing, two-faced this morning. It today is like a person who says to you, I promise you this, and then they have their fingers crossed. It's trickery. It's deceitful. It's dishonest today. It's doing something today and saying one thing and doing something else. But even more than that, when the Bible speaks of it this morning, it's speaking of that today, that it's knowing the truth and deliberately distorting it, and this morning deliberately turning it and twisting it until today it's no longer the truth. The word sin. We very seldom hear that word used anymore. I never hear any of our leaders of our nation or our state, or of our county, of our cities today use that particular word. They use many other words and they would say would be the same thing, but today there's only one word today that can adequately describe what the Bible calls sin, and that is sin. Some people call it crime, but today crime is between two individuals. Sin today is this morning between a person and God. We can, many people describe the symptoms of sin, but they never really today want to deal with the real problem, and that is the problem of sin today. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln made a proclamation for a national day of prayer when he called the nation to repent and ask God for forgiveness of their sin. And through the years, the presidents throughout the centuries have asked made a declaration of a national day of prayer. But beginning in the Eisenhower administration, he left out and discontinued the use of the word sin, and no president since then has mentioned that word when it becomes this morning the National Day of Prayer. We need to understand today that sin is a word that is not used anymore because people don't want to hear about sin. Well, the only thing we hear about sin today is to mock sin. Proverbs 14 and verse number 9, there the Bible says, fools make a mock of sin today. And when you begin to read that verse and you begin to see what the Lord is saying, and the word mock means to make light of. It means to laugh at. We laugh at sin this morning. Sin is laughed at in our society today. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. You see, this morning we find that we're living in a time when people are mocking sin, making light of sin. They're laughing at sin. And they're not only laughing at sin today, they're laughing at the remedy for sin. Because when you do away with sin, then you do away with the greatest event that this world has ever known, and that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins and His resurrection from the dead to this morning guarantee our justification and the forgiveness of the debt that we owe. Fools make a mock at sin. They laugh and make fun, and everything is ha-ha when you begin to talk about sin. Oh, I was just born that way. Oh, you know, it's just a little thing. And they mock and make light of sin. In the book of Proverbs chapter number 10, and verse number 23, the Bible said it is sport to a fool to do mischief. The word mischief there means sin. It means evil today. And you see, we're living in a time when it's a sport today to make light and to mock God's people, to mock the Word of God, to mock sin today. And you begin to talk about sin and how that it's wrong today, and people will begin to mock and make fun this morning. We need to understand that, as the Apostle Paul is teaching us here, that sin is deceptive, that it's trickery today. It's dishonest and it's two-faced. Someone has said sin will carry you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you meant to stay and cost you more than you meant to pay. This nation is in dire straits this morning. The United States of America is on the brink of destruction. We can look at many reasons, but the real reason today is because of sin. Our nation has become a place of sin. We today laugh and mock and take light of sin today. We make light and mock the Word of God. We laugh and mock and make fun of the Savior that God sent to be our Savior today. And this morning we look and see all the problems in the world or in our nation this morning, and people never say, hey, look what's happening. What do we do? And somebody stands up and says, well, we need to repent of our sins today. We need to get right with God. We look at our economy today, and it's in the downhill spiral. How much longer we can stand what we're doing every day of our lives today is because of sin today, corruption. We find that it's in every avenue of our political process. We find that there's corruption. There's all kind of deceptiveness today, and everything you can think of that's spending our money and wasting it away. And then they wonder why our economy is in such a bad shape. We look around and see all of our morality, all of the things that they say, and they're taking money from businesses today, and it's in the Supreme Court that try to prevent Obamacare from making people and making Christian organizations this morning pay for abortions. The Supreme Court is considering that argument right now. That's a sad day when we have to do that today, but we make a mock of sin. And today we're wondering why we're in such a problem in our nation this morning. Sin. I mean, just made it very plainly this morning. We find that God said in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14 when he was speaking through Solomon, and we use this many times for a revival in a church, and I suppose that it goes along with that, but God was speaking to an entire nation there. And he said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and forsake their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. But until we get ready this morning to go to Almighty God and say, God, we've sinned. We this morning have went against your word. We have this morning went against what you have taught us. Then don't expect our nation to get any better. You say, you're a pessimist. No, I'm an optimist. Thank God good news is bad news. Or bad news is good news. Because when I see all of this, I'm getting ready for the Lord to come. Amen. But I want to tell you this morning, this nation is in dire straits, and it's because of sin today. You see, sin is deceptive this morning. Somebody says, well, why is sin so deceptive? Well, the source of sin is where it really begins this morning, and Satan today is the source of all sin. I'm not saying this morning the devil made you do it, but in some ways that is true. But Satan this morning is a liar. Jesus said he was the father of lies. He's a deceiver, the Bible calls him today. We hear and read about, Paul talks about the wiles of the devil. The Bible says he's more subtle than any beast of the field. And this morning, sin begins with Satan. Sin begins this morning very simply with a lie. Every sin begins with a lie. And a lie this morning is the very opposite of the truth. You think about that. Sin begins with a lie, and a lie is the opposite of the truth, and God's word is truth. As when we go this morning, sin is always begins with trying to distort, and this morning trying to do away with the word of God. You see, God's word is truth. And the source of sin today is Satan, who is a liar. And he'll tell you a lie. I saw a thing the other day about a politician, and it said, I can lie faster than you can fact check. And I thought that's absolutely true. Every sin begins with a lie. I read about an Indian who one day woke up, and as he looked out of his teepee and he saw the snow-covered mountains, and he thought, well, this would be a good day to climb the mountain. So he got all of his provisions and gathered his buffalo hide coat and got his blanket, and he headed out, and he climbed up on top of the mountain. And he got up on top of that beautiful snow-covered mountain, and he was looking out over the glorious scenery. And all at once, he felt something at his feet, and he looked down, and there lay a rattlesnake. And the rattlesnake said, Mr. Indian, said, I'm cold. I said, I need to get to the bottom of this mountain, but I'll freeze on the way down. Would you put me inside your buckskin jacket and carry me down and set me free so I could hibernate through the winter and not be up on this mountain and freeze to death. And then he said, man, you're crazy. You're a rattlesnake. You'll bite me. The snake said, no, I won't bite you. He said, you rescue me. And said, I'll remember that the rest of my life, and I'll even keep all of my snake friends from biting you. So finally the Indian reached out and got the rattlesnake and put him inside of his jacket. Took off back down the mountain, and he got all the way to the foot of the mountain, reached in his coat, threw the snake out on the ground. About that time, the snake called up, whap, 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 bit him. And the Indian, as he's staggering around, he said, I thought that you said you wouldn't bite me. He said, you knew what it was when I picked you up, when you picked me up. Let me tell you, a snake will bite you. Sin begins with a lie. And you know where it ends? Well, the Bible doesn't even leave us in doubt there. Listen this morning in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5, and verse number 11. Here it talks about one specific sin, but all of them are the same. And thou mourn at the last. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. At the last. You see, sin this morning ends with sadness and terror. Begins with a lie. You see, sin this morning is deceptive in its promises. It promises peace and pleasure and brings death and destruction. Jesus himself said in the book of John, chapter number 8 and verse number 34. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Literally, Jesus is saying that when you commit sin, you become the slave of sin. You become the servant of sin. You do what sin directs you to do. You're no longer in control. Now sin is in control. An old saying said that when you give Satan an inch, he becomes a ruler. That's true this morning. You see, sin will enslave you, put you in bondage and chains. And as the Bible says, that pleasure of sin is but for a season. The pleasure is short-lived. And it enslaves and directs and guides, and that becomes the guiding force in people's lives this morning because they've become under that sin today. And it's always dressed to look beautiful. Every time I see a Budweiser commercial, oh, they can have some nearly tear-jerkers, can't they? The guy with the Clydesdale horse and the farmer and, I mean, all the things that they do, and they have some beautiful commercials, and everybody's just having a big time, and this is the thing to do, drink Budweiser beer. They don't show you the car accident on Highway 45 where two teenagers were killed. They don't show you the mama crying over those caskets. They don't show you all the horrors of what's taken place through the years because, you know, I'm kind of like the guy that comes on television and he says, I'm the guy that's responsible for your beer. I want to send him pictures sometimes and say, this is what you caused. If you're the guy responsible, then this is what you caused. It's always a pretty picture, isn't it? Doesn't get any better than this. You think about it today. But what does it do to people? It enslaves them and puts them in chains. And this morning they are now enslaved. they're controlled by that sin. Because sin has promised them one thing, but it's delivered something else. It's deceptive today. Adultery, fornication, all the things that we see in immorality going on in our country has promised us great freedom, but what has it brought us? It's controlling us this morning. Power. You know, somebody says, well, I can quit anytime I want to. Just one time won't hurt. It won't hurt to do this. I read a story many years ago about a preacher told about when he went to Niagara Falls, and he said he got there in the spring when the ice was just beginning to thaw, and as he was standing there watching the river, that those ice blocks, as they begin to break and come and submerge out of the river and begin to float down toward the falls, that encased in those ice blocks many times were fish. Now these gulls would fly down and land on these ice blocks and get that fish out of the block. And he said he watched in amazement as they would get nearly to the falls, and all at once the gull would take off and fly away and not go over the falls. But he said he watched this one, and it landed, and said he was so engrossed in this big fish that he got closer and closer and closer. And finally, just as it started over the falls, he started to try to fly away, but his claws had become lodged in the ice, and he plunged to his death. You see, that's what sin does to us this morning. It takes people and plunges them, and it clutches them within its power this morning. I look at all the things going on in our society, and we could speak about many things, but I see people so enslaved, and the power of sin has got such a control over their lives. We have casinos full of people this morning who are gambling away their homes and their businesses and their lives. They'll look at me and say, oh, I just play the penny machine. They don't know what they're doing. Sin is deceptive. All it's trying to do is get your clutches, trying to pull you down. And there's so many things this morning, but people need to understand that sin today is deceptive. It's trickery. It's going to make everything look good. And one day it'll pull you down. Because sin this morning is deceptive in its perspective. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. God is not mocked. Sin today will lead you to a place called hell. Don't hear much about that anymore either, do we? But every day, thousands of people descend into hell. The Bible says hell hath enlarged itself. I've told you before, and sometimes I wonder when I see these volcano eruptions, is hell enlarging itself? Because people are plunging into hell because they've been deceived by sin. And they're now collecting the wages that sin demands. This morning, Paul said we better be careful. Every day of our lives, we better remind ourselves of the deceitfulness of sin. Because sin will destroy you. Thank God today there's the remedy, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. His blood can cleanse us from our sin if we're willing to turn to God, if we're willing to confess our sins and say to God, Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I've sinned. I take Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I plead his blood. This morning, let me tell you, sin is deceptive. But thank God, Jesus is true. Amen. Truth is Jesus Christ. And truth today is that Jesus loves you. He died for you. And he wants to forgive you. We need to turn to Christ. And we need to be reminded of how deceptive sin really is. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message. Use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. For us in his blessed, precious, holy name we pray. Amen.